Today's Shir is Masechta Sanhedrin Daf Lamed Zayin. We will begin on Daf Lamed Vav Amud Beis Rosh Hashem Yisbarach at the bottom of the Amud at the Mishnah. Tells us the Mishnah Sanhedrin. So the Sanhedrin, that means the Sanhedrin of 71 members, or the Sanhedrin of 23 members. And as that's the way Rashi explains that we're talking about both types of Sanhedrin. And the reason Rashi says that, explains the Aruch Lener, is because we're going to be discussing all the Talmidim that sat in front of the Sanhedrin who were there and were ultimately able to become members of the Sanhedrin if something happened to a member of the Sanhedrin. Now that halacha only applies, says the Aruch Lener, as we're going to learn, by the Sanhedrin of 23 members. So it's obvious that our Mishnah is speaking about the Sanhedrin of 23 members as well. Hoysa, the way it sat, they sat chatzigoyrin, like a semicircle, agula, kadei shiroin zezeh. The reason this was done, says the Mishnah, is because we want that everybody should be able to see each other. As the Mefarshim explain, the Nasi, the leader of the Bezdin, would sit at in the middle. All the other members of the Sanhedrin would sit to his right and to his left. And because they all sat to his right and left, and we wanted them all to see each other, and they wanted also to show the respect to the Nasi, so that's the best way, but they should all be sitting in a semicircle. And the reason it's so interesting that they should see each other is obvious, because if they see each other, they could discuss the halacha with each other. And when you see each other, when you discuss halacha, you're much more likely to come to the truth. Moreover, the Rishonim explained that they sat in a semicircle in order that the Edim should be able, and the Balidinim, both the Edim and the people who are in part of this Torah, should be able to face them as they stood in the middle, facing the Dayanim who were sitting in the semicircle. Shnei Sefer Dayanim Oimdim, and continues the Mishnah, there were two court scribes, Oimdim Fanaim, Echem Yamin Vechem Asmol. One was standing to the right of the Dayanim, and one was standing to the left, Kaisen as Divre, as Dvarei, and they would put to writing what they heard. Rabbi Yehuda says there were actually three such scribes. Echad kaisos divrei mezaken. One writes the reasons that he should be innocent. Echad kaisos divrei mechayim. One writes the reasons he should be guilty. Vashlishi kaisos divrei mezaken divrei mechayim. And the third one writes all the arguments. But because we want to make sure that everything is recorded, the way we could guarantee that everything is properly recorded is by having them all stand there, and therefore, by them all standing there and all recording, they'll compare notes if something is missing. V'shal Shuras, continues the Mishnah, there were three rows of Talmid Chachamim, Yoshvim Lefneim. They also sat there in front of them. And here, there's a very big machlokes Rishonim. Rashi says that these Talmidim also sat in the semicircle fashion. However, the Yad Ramah says they were sitting in a straight row. And he explains for a number of reasons. Number one is that he says that the word shura, the word always means a straight row. And moreover, when we speak about the Sanhedrin, the Bezdin, as we explained, there's a reason for them to sit in a semicircle, and the various reasons we gave. There's no reasons why the Talmidim have to sit that way, and therefore he suggests that the Talmidim did not sit in a semicircle. We call achad v'achem makas mekoymei, and every one of these Talmidim knew exactly where they have to sit. So, as we're going to see in the Gemara, that becomes very critical, because in case a member of the Sanhedrin has to be replaced, we know exactly who and how should be replacing them. And the halacha is that we have to have three rows of 23 talmidim, which is 69, which is the amount that we're going to have if we have to keep on replacing. And we've discussed in other shiurim, what happens if the members of the Beis Din can't come to a decision? Do we keep on adding till we get to 71? So we really don't need this many, but because we want to have equal amount of people in each row, that's why we have three rows of 23. If one of the dayanim, as we just said, who are on the Beis Din, is going to be removed or removes himself, whether he passes away or whether he was not able to come to a decision, so we have to add dayanim, samchim. We take samchim min arishoina. We take a talmud from the first row, echad min ashniya, and then because one of the talmidim in the first row was taken out, he's going to be sitting in the Beis Din. So then somebody from the second row goes and moves up to the first row. And then echad min ashlishis bala l'shniya, somebody from the third row goes up to the second row. And then but we also have to choose somebody from outside this group, who now sits down in the third row. But the new person doesn't start sitting in the first row, because as we've seen now, the first row is the most significant row, and that's where the new dayan is going to be picked from. Everybody is placed the makom haroyloi in the place that makes most sense. And again, as we said, this only makes sense, explained the Rishonim, by a Sanhedrin Ketana, by the 23 member Sanhedrin. Says the Gemara, we began the Mishnah by telling us that they sat in a semicircle. Ask the Ramanan Emili, from where do we know this halacha? Says the Gemara, Amr Vach Bechanina, Da Makra, the Pasuk says in Shir Hashirim, Surecha Aganasar Ayechsar Hameza. Says the Gemara, the way to understand the Pasuk, Surecha is the Sanhedrin. Velama Nikra Shma Sarayach. Why does the Sanhedrin have this name? Sarayach means the middle of the body. Sheyeshevas B'Tabura Shel Olam. The Sanhedrin sat in the Lishkas Hagozes. The Lishkas Hagozes is the center of the world. And since the Lishkas Hagozes is in the Beis HaMikdash, the Lishkas Hagozes is the center of the world. And it's also called Agan. Why is it called Agan? Because Shimagina Kolayon Kulay, it protects the entire world. Hasar, and the word Sar comes to teach us, Shidoim Lasar, it looks like a sar, it's in a semicircle. The Marsha explains that even if we'll say that the Beis HaMikdash is not exactly in the center of the world, what is meant to say that it's in the center of the world, when the Gemara says it's the center of the world, what we mean to learn here is that it's the best place in the world. It's the place that's the most perfect place in the world, which of course we know, Beis HaMikdash, Yerushalayim Eir HaKodesh, represent the best place that in the world. Another pshat that we said goes back to what we discussed previously is that the world, the Shalayim in the Beis HaMikdash, is the Evan Shasiyah. And the Evan Shasiyah, as we learned, is Mimenu Hushasa Olam. From there, the world was created. So that's why it's considered like the center, just like a person is created from the center. Ayach Sar HaMazak, the Sanhedrin should not be according to the perfect formula of dilution. How does that apply over here? Teaches us the Gemara Shem Chotzach Echmem Lotzeis. If somebody from the Sanhedrin had to leave, Roin, we check. Im Yesh Esrim Shlosh Keneg Sanhedrin. If there's 23 members still left, then fine. Vim Lav, he doesn't go out. The Mefarshim point out that we know that Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos that the world stands on Torah, Din, and Emes, and That's what's meant that the Sanhedrin, which represents Torah, which represents Din, which represents Sanhedrin, is what protects the entire world. Bitneich, arimas achitein, ma arimas achitein, hakol nenemem, everybody has benefit from wheat. Af Sanhedrin hakol nenem, everybody has benefit metameim from the divrei Torah that they give out. The Sahar is the moon, and the Sanhedrin is coming to the moon. And why the moon? Because the moon was not always seen as a full circle. The moon is seen as halfway. So the Mashah explains why is it compared to wine that's properly diluted. He says the proper dilution of wine is one-third wine and two-thirds water. The two-thirds water are not what is important. What's important is the one-third wine. And what we're learning here is the way the Sanhedrin was set up, as we learned in the Mishnah, we had people who were sitting there that were the actual Sanhedrin, and then we had sitting there the Talmidim, who are not the primary individuals in the Sanhedrin. And what we're learning here is that just like wine, we have the wine and the other part, so too, by the Sanhedrin, we have the wine, the key members of the Sanhedrin, plus the other people, the Talmidim, who were there. And together, between the Talmidim and the others, that's how we have the proper formulation. Suga b'shoshanim, says the Gemara, what does the pasuk mean with suga b'shoshanim? Afilu k'suga shel shoshanim, even like a wall made out of roses, which is very flimsy, la'ifsa and parotzis, nothing could break what the Sanhedrin says. In other words, the Sanhedrin served as a proper way to protect Klal Yisrael from doing anything, and it didn't require a wall made out of stone or made out of bricks. Even the Sanhedrin is able to do that type of protection. This was a discussion that took place between an apikiris and Rav Kahana. Amrisa nira shor nidashori liyichud b'adigavra. We know, of course, that a husband may not have relations with his wife when she's a nida, but the halach is that a husband and a wife, while the wife is a nida, may be alone at home. And the question is, efshe eish kenuris, the husband has a desire to do bia, ve'enem mechaveves, and yet the fire doesn't burn up. How does that happen? How do they protect themselves from not doing bia when in such a time, and they're alone, there's nobody watching? Amalei, so if Kahana responded to the min, ha'tayra yaleida alenu, the Torah tells us, Suga b'shoshanim, that the way to look at Klal Yisrael is that we're like a rose. And Tosfos explains why is it a rose. Because, A, as we just said, the rose is flimsy. This also doesn't have a strong protection. And another explanation is because the dam nida is red like the rose. Shafilu suga shoshanim, lo'yifritzu p'pratzus, Klal Yisrael will not break that wall, they will not do what they're not supposed to do. The Reb Chaim Shmulevitz used to explain that what is the Yetzahara? He says that the Yetzahara is a person who fouls the Yetzahara. Many times the Torah calls such an individual Bli'al. He says, why is such an individual called Bli'al? Because he says people like to be Bli'al, without anybody over them, without anybody watching them. And what is a Klal Yisrael? The Klal Yisrael is just the opposite. He says, what makes Klal Yisrael special is that Suga b'shoshanim, that we're able to put over, that we're able to have over ourselves just a minimal protection, minimal rules, minimal requirements not to do what's wrong, and we won't do wrong because we know how to take upon ourselves the old Shemayim. Here we learn again the special of what makes special Klal Yisrael, that afilu rikonav shebcha, even people who are not very big tzaddikim are still malei mitzvahs kariman. Even a person who is not such a great individual is malei mitzvahs kariman. Although I did see a very powerful pshat that it's just the other way. It means afilu, you could have a person who is who does a lot of mitzvahs, but he could also be a person who does a lot of averus. And what another pshat I see is that we take the word rimon and we divide it in half. We have the gematria of kemach. And what we're learning from here is that sometimes you have people who, Baruch Hashem, have the ability to learn, but learn Torah. But you have individuals who are not able to learn Torah. But teaches us the Gemara that even those individuals who don't learn Torah, but they have, so they don't have the whole Rimon, but they have Kemach. They are those that give Kemach, they are those that support the Lomdei Torah. And a person who supports the Lomdei Torah, Malei Mitzvahs Kariman. Another pshat that I saw that a from Rabbi Yochai Meisel is that a tzaddik is always concerned that he hasn't really accomplished everything that he's supposed to accomplish. He isn't doing mitzvahs the way he's supposed to do mitzvahs. Rishayim, on the other hand, are always under the impression that we're great. That's what it says, that the Rishayim think that the Malayim mitzvahs karimayim, that they're full of mitzvahs, but they're really not full of mitzvahs. The Magen Avraham and Parshas Netzavim explains that the Gemara Masechta Chagiga, Daf Tes Amud Beis, when it discusses how Rameya learned Torah from Acher, the Gemara says, Rameya Rimon Motzah, he found the Rimon, Toichel Ochel, he ate the inside, the Kliposoi Zorak, and he threw away the shell around it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is also called Meir. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does with Klal Yisrael. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu does with Klal Yisrael is that there may be people who, as we are identifying now, who are Rishoyim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu throws away the klipa, he throws away the unimportant part, and he leaves over the important part, the mitzvahs that they do. The Magdalos Merchachim explains that the Rimon is very different than all other fruits. In all other fruits, we have the pit inside the fruit, and that's what's discarded. In a Rimon, it's just the opposite. The waste, the peel is on the outside, which is what the peel and the layer under the peel is what we discard, and the pits inside are what we eat. That's how we are to look at Parsha Yisrael. That even though the Parsha Yisrael, from the outside, they look like they're Rishayim, we are to pay attention to the inside. The inside is the pits, which normally we discard. Here, these pits are very valuable. Another pshat is a sort that we know that one of the most critical requirements a person has to have to succeed in Avodas Hashem is that he has to be an onav, that he has to be modest. And that's what we say, somebody that holds himself rikonim, somebody who holds himself like he's not anything special, those people are Malayim Mitzvahs Kariman. Those are the people that could grow to be great, that are really the great people, because those are the people that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bestow on them much shefa, a bracha, hatzlocha, and all different things. Another pshat that I saw is that the Torah, we know that the Kohen Gadol on his beged, he wore at the bottom of his clothing a pamon v'rimon. Pamon v'rimon is a bell. And what was the purpose of that bell? So the Mefarshim explained that bell served the purpose of constantly reminding us that we have to do better. And every time somebody would hear the Kohen Gadol walking, he would know that he has to do better. The Mishnah says in Parshas, in Perek Yavis, every day there's a baskol that comes out from Har Sinai. There's a people have to be concerned. We have to learn Torah. We have to connect ourselves to Torah. And the Baal Shem Tov, quoted in the Sefer, tells us Yaakov Yosef says, but who hears that baskol? She says, every time a person has a moment where he wants to do better, when he wants to be better, that comes because his neshama is hearing that baskol. He says, when our Gemara is speaking about the Rimon, it's not the Rimon that we've been discussing according to this Pshat. Till now we've been saying that the definition of a Rimon is a pomegranate. But this Pshat actually says that it's the same as the Paman Rimon of the bell. The Poshi Yisrael are Malayim Mitzvahs Kerimon, that we, even the Poshi Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives them moments of a Rimon, of a bell, to wake them up to do better. And that's what causes them to do tshuva. And I, in fact, saw that Rabbi Yitzchak Silberstein in his Sefer Chashukei Chemed has a discussion that our Gemara teaches us how important it is for us to be makariv somebody. And there's a famous question that if there's somebody who isn't acting as he's supposed to be acting, should he be expelled? And our Gemara says, Pashi Yisrael Kerimon, that even the people who are Pashi Yisrael are full of mitzvahs, and we should never be merachik them, we should never distance them, unless, as we said, there's a concern that they could serve as a bad influence on the others. Rav Zeira Omar Mehocha. This lesson could be learned from here. The Pasuk says, when Yaakov Avinu came to Yitzchak, the Pasuk says, V'yorach Hasreich Begodov. What does Reich Begodov mean? At Tikri Begodov. We know that Yaakov Avinu was wearing Esav's clothing. It doesn't mean the clothing, Ela Begodov. Yaakov Avinu recognized the Begodov, even the people who are rebelling against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Those individuals who are rebelling against HaKadosh Baruch Hu really have the potential of being great people. And what I saw the Mefarshim explain is that Yaakov Avinu was a tzaddik. And there's a fundamental question that everybody, of course, asks. Yaakov was a tzaddik, and Esav was a rasha. Yet, Yitzchak wanted to give the bracha to Esav, the rasha. But because Yitzchak appreciated, the Sefer, the Chi Yosef explains this, they appreciated the Baal Tshuva. And he thought that indeed Esav did Averis, but he wants to do Tshuva. And Yaakov Avinu recognized that for him to be able to get the Bracha, he has to wear the clothing of Esav. The clothing of Esav, which were full of stains of blood from the individuals that Esav had murdered, but they also represent that Esav wants to do better. And that was the only way Yaakov recognized that he could get the brachas that Yitzchak wants to give. Says the Gemara, Hanabir Yoni, there were people who didn't act properly. Davim Shavuusa de Reb Zeir, they lived in Reb Zeir's neighborhood. Davim Kavluhu, and he drew them close. Keichet in the head of Liberty Yufta, in order that they should do tshuva. Vavakapti Rabbanon, and the Rabbanon were upset at this behavior. Kinach nafshi de Reb Zeira. When Reb Zeira passed away, Amri, these people who were the Rishoyim, said, Ad ha'idna, until now, have a charika katan sake. Reb Zeira was a short person that his legs were burnt. Because the Gemara Masechta Baba Metzia, that Peheyom and Aleph tells us that Reb Zeira was concerned that Chas v'Shalom, when he leaves the world, he shouldn't be affected by Gehenna. And the way he would do so is that every 30 days he would put himself into fire to see if he was getting burnt by the fire. One time he went into the fire and he did get burnt, and that's why he was called Charika Katan Sake. And they said as long as Reb Zeira was alive, they knew that he's davening on their behalf. Hashta, but now that he's no longer alive, man bana le'rachme, who's going to daven on our behalf? And that's when they did tshuva. So I saw that the Mefarshim explained that what is, how are we to understand this Gemara, that the tzaddik, when he goes up to the Olam Ha'emes, when the tzaddik goes up to the Olam Ha'emes, what happens is, the first thing he does is he davens on their behalf. And that's why, as soon as Reb Zeira went up to the Olam Ha'emes, the first thing he did was he davened on behalf of these Rishoyim, and because he davened on behalf of these people, they did tshuva. Shalosh Shuras, we learned in the Mishnah with three lines of Talmid Chachamim, which each had 23 people on per row sitting in front of the Bezdin. Amar Ma'ar. So Amar Baya. So Baya says, how are we to understand the Mishnah? Shmamino Kinayid, when we start moving people up, Kula Naidi. In other words, as we learned in the Mishnah, if there's going to be a situation that somebody from the Bezdin has to be replaced, we take somebody from the first row. So the Gemara says, what that really means is, the rows start to move. And somebody from the first row goes up to the Sanhedrin, and then everybody in the first row moves up, and then somebody from the second row comes. And that's how we move. V'leimelhu. But now, says the Gemara, the person who's being appointed to the Sanhedrin is now the youngest member, the newest member of the Sanhedrin. And till now, he was sitting in the position first row, first seat. And now he's on the last seat on the Sanhedrin. So why shouldn't he want to say, perhaps, V'leimelhu, why doesn't he say, Ad Idna, Havisiv Nebereisha, until now, I sat in the first row, first seat. Hashta, Masevin Libidandi, and now I'm sitting on the back, the last seat of the Sanhedrin. Says Abaya, from here we learn, Domalei Hachi, we say, have a son of Larius. It's better to be the tail of a lion, and not to be the head of the shulam. It means it's better to be the weakest in the Sanhedrin, but you have the schus to sit on the Sanhedrin versus that being on the first row and then not being on the Sanhedrin. Continues the Mishnah Ketzamei Aymanis Adam. Exactly, we learned previously that we want to make sure that the Edom will say only the truth. Ketzma Aimim al Edin Nefashis. How do we do that by capital case? Says the Mishnah, Hayim Machnisin Aysan, they would bring them to Bezdin Amayamin Aleim. And they would say to them, Shem Tamim Aymid, be careful that what you're saying is not just based on an estimation, Umishmua, or something that you heard, that what you're saying is only hearsay. Aid, or what you heard was something that you heard from other Adam, not that you know yourself. Even if you heard it Mipi Adam Neman, even if what you heard from a very trustworthy person, it doesn't make a difference. It's not acceptable. Shemi Atiyadim Shusufeno lived Gaschem, and they also tell them, as we've been learning, that they are very questioned with Drishis V'chakiris. And we're going to discover if you are lying. And not only are we going to discover if you're lying, but as we've learned, if you become Muslim, then you're going to suffer the punishment of Asisim Loi Kashazom and Lassus Lachiv. And therefore, you have to be very careful that what you say, make sure that what you're saying is really true. Says the Gemara. Says the Mishnah Vayta, have you heard them? They would tell the Edom, have you heard them? Be aware, Shloka Dina Mamas, Dina Nefashos, Dina Mamas and Dina Nefashos are not the same. Dina Mamas, Hadam Naisa Mamon, if a person was wrongly judged, he pays the money, Umaskapaloi, and that's how he goes further. However, Bedina Nefashos, Dama Vidam Zeres of Tulimbai, because you caused an innocent person to be killed, all the future generations that could have come from that person are on you. At Saif Olam. She came at Sinai, but Cain shaharagas achiv. We know that Cain killed Hevel, his brother. Shenemar, and the pasuk says, after that took place, called the me'achicha tzoyakim alayim and adama. Ena amadama damachicha. He killed one individual. He killed his brother. What does it say, the me'achicha? The me'achicha represents damai v'dam zeroes of all of his family. The Rashi explains that what we tell them is realize that you are an individual, and you as an aide are doing such damage to yourself. That you're doing so much damage to yourself if you say something that's not right. So here we learn the power of what it represents, a person, how every person is so very valuable. And therefore, this is the source, one of the sources, how we learn that we're never allowed to commit suicide, because committing suicide is taking away this neshama, taking away a person from the world, which every person, as we're learning now, is so very valuable. But there's a question that the Chashukei Chemed discusses a number of examples. If somebody, he says, is a pilot in the Israeli army, and he's concerned that his plane is being shot down, and if he goes down, he's going to be kidnapped, he's going to be a captive. And being a captive with them, of course, is very painful. Is he allowed to commit suicide, just take the plane down, in order to avoid that? Or, unfortunately, people who are suffering, are they allowed to commit suicide to take them out of their pain? The pasuk says that in Shmuel, that when the Plishtim were holding war with Klal Yisrael, and the pasuk says, "V'yom Shaul noisa Kalev." Shaul says to the person, his attendant, "Shlaf charbuchav dekreni ba, take out your sword and kill me before pen yave arela el v'dekrenu, before the enemy comes and does it to me v'sa'albi." V'loin ova nasa Kalev kiyar mi'ayit. His attendant was fearful to do so. So the pasuk says, "V'yikach Shaul sacher v'yipal alav." So we see that Shaul committed suicide. But asked the Rishonim and the Beis Yosef, how was Shaul allowed to do this if we're learning now that the value of every Jewish life is so critical and you're not allowed to do something like this? So some Rishonim say that maybe Shaul indeed wasn't allowed to do what he says. But the Shulchan Aruch in Yerideya Simen Shim Mem Hei Sif Gimel, if somebody commits suicide, but he was under a difficult situation, and the Beis Yosef says that this is really something that the Ramban says. And therefore, the Rishonim explained there were many different reasons why Shaul had a right to commit suicide. He was suffering terribly. Some say, as we just said, that he really maybe wasn't allowed to commit suicide. He was concerned that he wouldn't be able to withstand the Yisurim and maybe come to do an Avera. Another pshat that the Shiur Knesset Gedolah suggests is that Shaul knew that he was supposed to die anyway. And since he would die anyway, so there was no real issue with him committing suicide. Another pshat that the Yamshel Shloima suggests is that Shaul knew that if he was taken captive, Klal Yisrael would do whatever they would need to do, given he was the king, to save him. And he didn't want them to do a deal which he felt was not appropriate to be done to save him, and therefore he felt he should commit suicide. Another pshat is, of course, we could understand that if they get their hands on the king of Klal Yisrael, it would be a terrible Chil Hashem. And therefore, since it's a terrible Chil Hashem, he wanted to avoid the Chil Hashem. For most Paiskim, it seems that one should never could commit suicide. But in a situation where it's like we just described with Shaul, if he if that was the situation that we that this person is suffering terrible disease, and a person is suffering that he's going to be kidnapped, captive, and he can't take that, then even though he shouldn't have done what he did, he's not considered a ma'abed l'atzmai l'das, that he shouldn't, it's not considered a mitzvah ma'abed l'atzmai l'das. But on the other hand, we know, as we're learning in our Mishnah, the value of every Jewish life, and the value of every Jewish life teaches us that we should do whatever it takes to preserve the Jewish life, even when it's difficult. Dav Acher, Demei Achicha. What is meant when the Pasuk says Demei Achicha? Sheyadam Mushal Chaleitz V'Alvonim. His blood, the blood of Hevel, was splattered all over. As the Mashal explains, because Cain did not know what it means to kill a person, so what Cain did was, he stabbed him all over. And by stabbing him all over, that's how Hevel ultimately expired. And says the Mishnah, L'fikach nivra adam yechidi, this is why a person is created by himself. L'amdecha shekol m'gavet nefesh echz m'Yisrael, ma'alav akasuv kil even me'alimolei. Every Jewish person is a whole world. And therefore, on the other hand, become a kaim nefesh echz m'Yisrael, whoever helps a Jewish person survive, ma'alav akasuv kil keim olamalei. Another reason why a person was created by himself, neshalom brius. Shloyoyim adam l'chaveri. One person shouldn't say to another person, Abba God Mavicha, my father is greater than your father. But we all come the same way, so we're all the same. Another reason, Shloyom Aminim, that Shloyom Aminim, Oimrim, Habrishus B'Shemayim, that many gods and every god created different people. Another reason, L'Hagid Gidlosh HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to show us the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shadim Teveya, a person makes many coins, and they're all kulam daimel zelzeh, and they're all identical. However, o melech malach malach makadosh baruch hu tava kol adam b'chayis mishadam arishin. We're all created in the image of Adam Arishin, but still ein echad daimel chaveroi. Nobody is identical to each other. Lefikach, and because of all of this, kol echad ve'echad chayiv loimer. Every person is supposed to say, "Bishvili nivra olam." It is because of me the world was created. The Shematimru continues the Mishnah. Given all of what we just learned, the Dayanim may say, "Malonu l'tzara zois." Why do we need this headache when we get into a din Tyro? The Edom will say, "Why do we need to say Edus?" Like Kenemar, ve'aid ora ayada, that if somebody does know Edus and he withholds the Edus, the Torah says, it's considered a sin. If we're going to say, but how should we be the people that should cause this person who did the Avera to be eliminated or be punished? How can we take such an obligation? And of course, the Mepharshim add, there's the Pasuk of Vi'arta Ra Mikabecha, that we have to eliminate the Ra from the world. So our Mishnah says that everybody has to say Bishvili Nivra Olam. What does that mean? That a person has to realize that he is the world is waiting for him. The entire world was created Bishvili Nivra Olam. The entire world was just created just for him. And if the entire world was created just for him, the halach is that he has to spend the time that he is in this world in the most positive way. And as we just learned, and as we know, there are no two people that are the same. So I saw that the Alta von Slobodkin, the Chachmas Matzman, explained why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create us that way. Because as we're saying, a person could say that Baruch Hashem, so many people in the world, so if I won't do it, there's somebody else that will do what has to be done. But when a person realizes that there are no two people that are the same, and when we say that there are no two people the same, it doesn't mean only, obviously, in physical appearance. It means in different talents. Every individual has their own talent, and everybody's talents are necessary to the world to exist and to the world to grow. So if I won't do what I can do, there's no one else that could do it. Just like Adam HaRishon couldn't have said that there's no someone else should do it, there was no one else to do it, so does every person have to realize that. And that's why I saw that when it says, Kol Mekayim Nefesh Achas Miyisrael, we always understand the Kol Mekayim Nefesh Achas Miyisrael, that it means that there's that you save a person, Hatzalah, there's a person who's in danger, and somebody who saves him, it's as if you're saving the whole world. But now there's a whole new explanation. Kol Mekayim Nefesh Achas Miyisrael means that if somebody helps another person grow in Avodas Hashem, and that person, when he grows in Avodas Hashem, will be a better person than and be able to accomplish and do good things from the world. When you're going to do that, that's what you're accomplishing when you mekayim nefesh achas miyisrael. When you mekayim nefesh achas miyisrael, what you are doing is helping the world become a better place. Rav Chaim Shmulevitz used to say that this is the way how a person could be protected from the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara tries to convince a person to do Avera, and the Yetzer Hara says, you're not such an important person altogether. But now when our Mishnah teaches us that every person is an Olam Malay, if every person is an Olam Malay, so then if I'm going to do an Avera, look who's doing an Avera. It's not just a regular person doing an Avera, it's a person who's Olam Malay. And Rav Chaim Shmulevitz writes there that what we learn from here is that sometimes the halacha, of course, very much speaks about the importance of modesty, of anava. But sometimes you have to have the opposite of anava, because that's how you're going to be able to overcome. The Imri Emes quotes the Sfas Emes, that the Madrash says, Kishem shefer tzufeim ein doim lozel zeh, just like the face is not the same, ain't they same? So the Imri Emes says that the word shvil means a path. B'shvili nivra olam, each one of us has a path, our own unique special path that we were put on the world to do. And that's the path that only I could do. The Rebbe Rabbunim used to say that every person has to have two packets in their jacket. In one packet, they have to have a piece of paper that says, B'shvili nivra olam. And the other packet has to have a person that says, V'anoichi ofer v'efer. On one hand, we should realize how important what we do is. And on the other hand, we have to realize how terrible, if we shouldn't let this get into our head. The Medishna said, "Demeachecha tziakim, einayim demeachecha el demei." Somebody said, "So Sefer Chassidim teaches us that if somebody does something bad to someone else, he's not only punished for what he did to that person, but if when you do something bad to a person, his entire family suffers. And when you do bad to another person," says the Sefer Chassidim, "you will not just be punished for what you did to that person, you're going to be punished for what you did to the whole family." Tana Rabbanan, Ketzed Moimed, says the Mishnah, we said that you can't say Eidus just based on an estimation. Amalhem, so he says, the Dayan says to the Eidim, maybe what happened here was, Shemekach Re'isim, maybe what you saw was, Shiratz Achad Achre Chaver L'Churva, somebody was running after somebody else, V'ratz Demachrov, and then you were running after them, and you see that the person who was chasing the other person is holding a sword, v'damim metaftif, and blood is on that sword, v'horig mefarper, and the victim is convulsing, m'kachri isim, so you would certainly put one and one together, that what happened here was that this person was murdered by that murderer. Says the Besdin, m'kachri isim, if that's what you saw, Larisim Kulam, that's not considered proper Eidus. Tanya Amar Rav Shimon ben Shatach, Ereb ben Nechama. Erbe Nechama means that he was in the time when Yanei HaMelech killed all, as we learned already, killed all the Talmid Chachamim. So it was a time of terrible tragedy in Klal Yisrael. And he said, Erbe Nechama, Em L'Reisi Echad Shiratz Achach Haver L'Churba, I saw one person chasing another person, V'Ratz the Achrav, and I ran afterwards, V'Reisi Saif B'Yodai, and I saw the Raidif was holding a sword, V'Damai Metaftif, and the blood was dripping, for Harg Mufarper, and the person who was killed was convulsing, for Marti Le Rosha, Mi Harg Lezeh, Oya Ni Oita, who is the murderer? Was it me or you? I know it's you. Avama Esa, what can I do? Shein Damach Masr Biyadi, I can't do anything here. Shei Ama Taira, Apishnei Eidem Yumin Sameis, Apishnei Eidem Shleish Eidem Yumin Sameis, only you have to have proper Eidus. But he said, Hayidei Machshavas, HaKadosh Baruch Hu that knows the truth, Yifram Ha'isa Ishar Gizchaveroi, will punish you for what you did. Amru, says the Gemara Lizaz Masham, they didn't move any further. Ad Shabbat Nachsh V'Kishai, until a snake actually came and killed this Umeis and killed this murderer. V'hai Ba'Nachashu, asked the Gemara, is this person supposed to be killed by a snake? V'am Rav Yosef came to honor the Beit Chizkiya, V'yam Shechar Beis HaMikdash, from when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. And therefore there's no more Sanhedrin sitting in the Lishkas HaGozes, Abbi Shabbat Sanhedrin, Abba Mises Le'Batlu. Says the Gemara, Le'Batlu, how can you say the Bezdin still could give out sentence of the Abba Misa Bezdin? V'Batlu, if the Sanhedrin is no longer in place, they can't do it anymore. Ella, din Abba Misa Le'Batlu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu still runs the world. Mishin is Chayv Skila. If some Rechman son is Chayv Skila, Oy Neifel Menagag, or he falls off the roof, Oy Chay Darsasai, or he's trampled by an animal, which is similar to Skila. Mishin is Chayv Sreifa. If somebody did an Avera which comes with Sreifa, Oy Neifel Metaleika, either he falls into a fire, Oy Nachsh Makishai, or he's bitten by a snake, and the venom of the snake burns him up. Mishin is Chayv Hariga. Somebody who's chayv misa by decapitation, sayif, oynim salamalchus, or he falls into the hands of the government, which is that was the way that they would administer death. Oy listen barnalov, or he's attacked by listen, that's the way they would kill. Mishin is chayv chenek, somebody who's chayv to be die of asphyxiation. Oy tayv benar, either he drowns, oy meis besarnaki. So why was this Mises Nachash is Sreifa, we just said getting bitten by a snake is Sreifa, but somebody who murders is Chayiv Saif. Says the Gemara, Amre hu chet achrit avabei. This person had another aver as well. Dom Amar, Mishin is Chayiv Abba Mises Bezdin, Vishtei Mises Bezdin. If somebody did an aver that comes with two Mises Bezdin, did averis that he has two Mises Bezdin sentences against him, Nidim B'chamura, he's punished with the more serious one. We learned further in the Mishnah that the Edim are told, don't say Edis mi Oymid, just based on an estimation. Says the Gemara, but Amish is speaking about Din and Nefashis. Ask the Gemara, is that Alocha? But Din and Nefashis, who the Lamdinan? By Din and Nefashis, we don't rely on estimation. Habadin and Mominus, Amdinan? Says the Gemara, Kaman, whose opinion is that? Says the Gemara, Krav Acha, the Tanya of Acha Oymer, Gomala Oycha Ben Gemalim. There's a camel amongst other camels that backed into another camel. The Nimtzu Gomel Harag B'tzidoi, and there's another camel that's dead there, B'yadayah Hargoi, that this camel killed it. And therefore, by Din Emominus, we could extract payment, even though we didn't directly see that is what happened. Says the Gemara Tameich, according to what you're saying, Aid Me Aid Diktoni. When we speak about Aid Me Aid, saying testimony based on what you heard, based on hearsay, is not acceptable. So we're saying again, that will that mean that Bedina Nefashis, who the Lamrinan, hearsay is not acceptable, Bedina Nefashis, Bedina Mamnes Amrinan, but Tanan, the Mishnah taught us, Omar, who Amali, we learned that Mishnah says that if somebody comes to Bez and says that this person said that the loy v'setcha nechayiv loy, in all these cases, it's not acceptable as edus. You have to hear directly the loiva admitting that he owes the money. Alma, I've got the psil b'dinim mamnas. Even though this is a disqualification by dinim mamnas, Amrinale, our Mishnah taught us that hearsay is unacceptable b'dinei nefashos. So says the Gemara, Hachanami, the same will be the case regarding somebody who said something based on an estimation. Afgav, even though it's also a problem by dinei mamonos, amnina lehu, am mishnah taught us by this halacha by dinei nefashos, but it's the same halacha by dinei mamonos. And this is a very interesting question. If somebody saw, for example, somebody stealing something, and they're very often in stores nowadays, cameras, and you saw somebody steal somebody through a camera, what will be the halacha? You watch the camera and you see it. And here our Gemara is saying that in one way we're saying the dini mamonos are the same as dini nefashos. On the other hand, we're saying they're not the same. So how does the halacha treat this? And it's a interesting question. The Paiskim say that the Shulchan Aruch says in Choshe Mishpat, Simen Lamedalad, Sifya Dalad, but dini mamonos loy binin riya. Ela efshla dun gamal piyadiyah. When it comes to dini mamonos case, the dini mamonos case could be paskined not just by actual seeing what happened, but by yediyah. When you have clear knowledge, unrefutable knowledge, that this is what happened, that's enough to pasken the din Torah. And I saw a shaila, what's the halacha if somebody is an aide by a wedding, and there's a lot of people under the chuppah, and he didn't see the actual kedushin of the chasen akala, all he saw is through a video camera that was over there. Will he be considered a kosher aid? The Rama and Evan Ezra Simon Mem Bey Sif Dalid says, "V'tzrichem aidim liras hanesina mamish liyada." In order to be considered an aid by a wedding, you have to see the actual kedushin. If you didn't see it, that even though you didn't directly see it, that the halacha is that it's okay. The Beis Shmuel, however, there says, quotes the Mordechai, who says that kedushin, being an aid by a wedding, is like what we just discussed is by dinei mamonos. And just like by dinei mamonos, what the halacha requires is that you should know for a fact what happened, even though you didn't actually see it, just knowing it is adequate. So too will be the halacha by a kedushin. So if the person didn't actually see the kedushin, but he saw it indirectly, he saw it through a camera, the halacha according to the Reish Shmuel will be that it's a valid kedushin. And actually, the Avni Meluim says that the Ramah's position, which is based on a Rashba, is only in a case where it's not 100%. Where it's 100% for sure that I know that the kedushin took place, he wants to suggest even the Rashba, the Ramah, would agree that it's a valid kedushin. But the Achronim discussed this question. The Achronim say, "Dilchatchila, if the Edom did not see the actual kedushin, the right thing to do is do it again with two Edom." I'm Hayyoydim, and we said, "No, the seriousness of Din and Nefashos." Says the Amar Yehuda Bereid of Chia. Milamet shasa kain behevel achiv chaburus hevel a kain as he was killing hevel stabbed him many different places of p'tzias shloya idea because he didn't know mehechan neshama yotza how a person expires achigil tzavarei till he stabbed him in the neck and he passed away. Vamar yudu b'reid of chiyam yom shepaskos aspia v'kibaltul dom shel hevel from when the earth opened up its mouth and absorbed the blood of Hevel. Shuvle Paskus. Shnema Meknaf Oretz. Smira Shemanu Tzvil Et Tzadik. Meknaf Oretz from the side of the earth, but not the Pia Oretz, which absorbed Hevel's blood. Esach Chizki Yochev V'Tiftach Oretz Es Paya. So we see that they did open the mouth. It says the Gemara Amalei L'Ra Pascha. What happened is there was from Ra Av L'Tayv for bad. It opened up to swallow kairach avle taiva lepascha. So I saw that the Ragachava says that Al Gemara says that the pia aretz knaf aretz smira shemanu. That's only the pia aretz never opens up its mouth anymore. It's only mknaf aretz. And Tosfos quotes a Tshuvas Goyim that Bnei Eretz Yisrael don't say Kedusha only on Shabbos. Srafim oimdim emaloi, shneish kafayim le'echad. Every one of the wings says Shira one day of the week. On Shabbos, they don't say Shira, that, and Bnei Yisrael say Shira, which of course is a very difficult Tosfos. We know that of course we do say Shira. So the Ragged Shaver explains that there's a difference in the Nusach of the Kedusha that we say. The Kedusha that we say between Nusach Sfard and Nusach Ashkenaz. Nusach Sfard says, K'noyim Siach Soy Tzarfei Kodesh Hamshal Shmulcha Kedusha. The Nusach Ashkenaz says, Nekadesh Shimcha Ba'olam K'shem Shemagdishim Ha'yisrael B'shmei Morayim. What is the difference? According to Nusach Sfard, we're saying, K'noyim Siach Soy Tzarfei Kodesh. We're saying Kedusha, just like the Malachim say Kedusha. Nusach Ashkenaz says, Nekadesh Shimcha Ma'olam, Shem Shemagdish Ma'ashev Shmei Ma'olam, that they're saying Kedusha, but we're not saying Kedusha. But then, says the Ragged Shaver, when Shabbos comes, what do Nusach Ashkenaz say by Musaf? Naritzach V'Nagdishach. What does Naritzach V'Nagdishach mean? That we will say the Kedusha. That's what Tosfos means to say. That the Bnei Eretz Yisrael, apparently according to Tosfos, had the Nusach of saying Naritzach V'Nagdishach. They don't, which is only said on Shabbos. During the week, they didn't say Kedusha. During the week, they said Nekadosh Hashem Chabayim K'shem, that only the Malachim say Kedusha. So it's very geschmack when Tosfos says, apparently, Bnei Eretz Yisrael had the Nusach Ashkenaz that we don't say Kedusha, that we don't say Kedusha anymore because only the Malachim do.